Hello and welcome to Dvorak Horowitz Unplugged, an hour-long discussion of activity in the financial markets around the world, featuring columnist John C. Dvorak and money manager Andrew Horowitz. This conversation is casual and unrehearsed. Let's join John and Andrew now.
I'm John C. Dvorak.
And I'm Andrew Horowitz.
And here it is, the 7th of May, 2024.
Yeah, welcome to May. What do they say?
May.
May go away. Sell may go away. Something like that.
Yeah.
But earnings season is
may go away.
Yeah. But earnings season is proving, generally speaking, for the markets themselves to be pretty good. There's definitely some holes in it. We'll go over some of the areas and some of the stats that are going on. But I mean, what we've seen, like, some of the things crap out are some of the really not high end, but there's a difference between high end and expensive. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So the
high end is one thing, expensive is another.
Right. Expensive. So, for example, expensive coffee, we talked about that, how Starbucks crapped out. McDonald's is complaining. And McDonald's got expensive. It was, you know, not we're not talking about Louis Vuitton, although those companies are having problems too, due to the fact that the rest of the world is having some issues. So we're seeing some good numbers out of a variety of things that are making people's lives easier. We'll talk that, you know, that talks about like technology or some kind of convenience model. But just going out to spend money, look, I went out to a restaurant last night in a shopping center, okay?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And the hamburger was $18. Now, you may say, wow, $18.
And it was at a restaurant, I assume that you had a slice of foie gras.
No. That's what I'm trying to say. It was a double smash burger that four of us split on the plate. It said it came with lettuce, tomato, smash burger, pickles, cheese, and all this stuff, right? I'm not kidding. If they put a quarter of a piece of bib lettuce on this hamburger, it'd be a miracle. We're all going, where's the lettuce? Where's the tomato? And it was this, there was nothing else. There was no fries in the plate. There was nothing.
These reminds me of the wimpy burgers they have at the chain in England. There's nothing on there. There's nothing. Just get a piece of meat and the bread.
Yeah, that's pretty much what it was. Then the pizza itself was $26 for a cheese pizza, Detroit style, which is like a mini Sicilian. $26. Do you know how much it costs to make a pizza?
Buck.
Pizza and pasta, the cheapest possible things you can have in a restaurant to make.
Yeah.
If you ever want to open a restaurant, open a pizza restaurant or something with pasta. There is no cost involved.
Yeah.
Besides the labor and stuff like that. Anyway, we're also going to talk about the biggest, with a capital biggest, buyback ever in the history of buybacks.
Hmm.
So that's pretty crazy. We're going to be gauging some investor sentiment. Remember, confidence and sentiment are a big issue when it comes to the markets. And, of course, cheerleading helps. And we saw, once again, a relatively resounding, I would say, dovish Fed, not willing to take the side of hard ass the entirety of the Wednesday 2:30 p.m. Press conference after the rate hike announcement, which is or rate decision announcement, which there was no rate decision, nothing happened. But during the conference, he was talking about how, you know, they haven't beaten inflation yet and all that. But once again, was absolute on the wrong side, saying, nope, not really a chance of a rate hike here, and going along pretty much trying to appease markets once again, which is the most bizarre thing I've ever seen. Stanley Druckenmiller, you know that guy?
Yep.
He was on CNBC this morning, one of the best interviews I've seen in a while, really telling it how it is. I could have been sitting in that chair, the same things would have come out of my mouth that you've heard 1,000 times. But he really summed it up, I think, pretty well. I encourage people to go find that on CNBC. We're announcing the winner of Close to the Pin for Apple. What were you going to say? Sorry, I stepped on you.
No, you didn't. I was just going to say, could you summarize what he said?
He basically said the Fed. Okay, this is what he said. The Fed had the opportunity to get to go through this process and squash the inflation. But instead, they claimed victory and over inflation too
by
early.
Doing nothing.
And essentially fumbled the ball on the fifth with 2 seconds left. And their actions actually stoked the potential for the next leg up in inflation.
No, that's not good.
Yeah. So the bottom line is that when you hear what he's saying and what the Fed has done, he's absolutely horrified at why. But he was also Paul Volcker. He said his favorite was Paul Volcker.
Oh, well.
The guy that crushed.
Not everybody's perfect.
No. Yeah. The guy that crushed inflation, but then we had 20 years of prosperity after that. So he says.
It's a cycle.
Yeah. And we're going to be talking about something called fake work. It's a new one. I never heard that before. Have you?
No, but does this have anything to do with Google?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a funny story.
Yeah. Yeah. That's just one of the companies that's involved in this fake work. But you see it all the time. I have people I know that are fake workers. I'm like, what do you do? Yeah. He goes, well, I don't know. He goes, well, you know, I'm a regional sales guy for this company. Big tech company. Uh-huh. And, you know, I always see you. Like, what's the deal? He goes, well, I just do a lot of phone work and stuff like that. But, you know, what happened is that the family, we just had a baby, and the family policies at this company gives me like 6 months of paternity leave. I'm like, what? What do you mean? Fully paid. Fully paid. I'd just be sitting there having babies.
Yeah, that sounds like it to me. These guys have got more money than they know what to do with, and they have to like, we got to get our head count up, or it doesn't, or it looks like, you know what I think it amounts to is that we got to get our head count up and we got to make it look like we're doing something here, or people are going to realize that we've been scamming them.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, look at all the money we make and we don't do anything.
Yeah.
Exactly. Market update, if it's down, well, people just seem to buy. The names that were hammered the most due to earnings and catching a bid again, we saw like Netflix got smoked. It's just climbing back up again. Nobody cares about this. I mean, Disney got killed today. Disney had actually really good numbers overall, but there's a couple of like points that you look like, oh, well, the parks and some of the consumer stuff not doing well, but some of the other things doing really well. Their numbers looked good, but the stock was the number one stock in the Dow Jones Industrial Average this year. It was like, I want to say 25, 28% coming into today. Well, that all changed, down about 10% on their earnings news today.
Did they kick me off the game?
I don't think so. I think you still
should have.
Well, 15% would kick you. So I don't think. No. Yeah, I don't think it's. It's only 10% down from where it was. So let's see.
And it's still up, as far as I'm concerned.
Yep. Let's see. Disney. I'm gonna look at the game real quick as you're talking. Do you even have it on here? Where is it?
It's up in the middle. It's been on for a while.
I don't see it. I'm like having. Oh, there it is, right there. Yeah, you still have 13%.
Yeah.
So you only have 5% more, and you'll get kicked. Oh, no, Disney was kicked today. Disney was kicked today.
Oh, it was?
Yeah, it was kicked today. Yep. Mm-hmm.
No.
Yep. But you made 13% on it.
Yeah, yeah. I guess that's better than losing money.
Right. All right. What else do we got here? Let's see. Yay. Gotta move this over so I don't get lost. Oh, we're going to do a follow-up on the utilities discussion we've had. Actually, some people are coming out with more and more commentary about utilities. They may have heard of what we're speaking about.
Yep.
Employment, excitement about the unemployment rate moved up to 3.9%. And everybody is, wow, that is just wow. Wow, that got really weak. We're going to discount all the inflation numbers. And as of last Wednesday, the market's been back in rally mode. So first we had the Fed. And no matter what the Fed says, the markets move up. That's kind of what it is. The markets move down for a while, then they move up. And if they move down, they move up the next day. If they move up, they'll move down the next day. It's just weirdly how it is. There's a lot of positioning that goes into the pre-Fed discussion. So whoever's on the wrong side has to actually go and reverse their trades that once they're proven wrong. You know, in other words, if there's a big trade on saying that, hey, they're going to, I don't know, raise rates, or Powell's going to be very hawkish, what happens is when that doesn't happen, those bets come off. and it makes the markets move very violently in either direction.
Yeah, it jerks around.
Yeah. So the unemployment rate was 3.9%. There was some inflationary numbers inside of that unemployment rate, unemployment number. PCE last week also came out hot. Everything was hot, but nobody cared. Nobody cared. Because once again, I'm just going to restate this point and we're going to finish it. But Powell once again could not close the loop. He just couldn't, you know, he could not. Again, it's like a kicker, just one point and just he can't do it. He just doesn't want to.
You like this football analogy.
Yeah. And then he also, by the way, what he also did, he reduced down the quantitative tightening that was going on.
Mm.
So quantitative easing is the buying of bonds with mysteriously made up money. And they just put $5 billion on the left side and move it to the right side and buy all these bonds. And that supposedly is stimulative, by the way. Everybody gets excited about that. And the reason for that is it supposedly brings down prices of yields. But again, it's a very strange animal. And then quantitative tightening is, okay, what we're going to do is they don't actually go and sell bonds. God forbid they do that. They just let them roll off. They just let them, when they mature, just roll off.
Hmm.
So the thing is, I mean, they can't really go out and start buying bonds now. Because if they did, they get a good interest rate, and they can put that back. It's a zero net game. It goes into the Treasury, it goes into the Fed's balance sheet, the interest rates, and all that. The fact is, they can't because the government's going to have to pay too much money on it, even though they wash it somehow, and it's really a negligible issue. The funny part of it all is, it's like me putting $5 from my left pocket into my right pocket and saying, "Hey, yeah, I'm $5 richer now." That's what they're doing.
Yeah, that's exactly what they're doing.
But somehow, it provides this stimulus, because they actually are debasing the currency too, because it is creating.
Yeah, but it hasn't shown up in the numbers. I mean, the euro is not kicking our ass, and how's the yen doing?
The yen is still up 157 last I saw, give or take. Oh my gosh!
Buy a Toyota.
Yeah, exactly. All right, here's an earnings season update. Over 80% of the companies in the S&P 500 reported actual results for the first quarter 2024 to date. So 80% of the companies are in. So a lot of companies this week as well. Of those companies, 77% have reported actual EPS above estimates, which is, it's about the five-year average. That's what it is. The 10-year average is 74%. I always say about 75% of companies will actually beat EPS. And everybody says, well, that is just amazing. How does that happen? Well, the companies know what the EPS estimate is. The companies feed the information to the analyst. So, John, you're an analyst. I'm the CFO of a company. You're asking me for data. I give you the data. I said, look, I think we'd have come in about, give or take, from 5 to 8 cents a share, somewhere right around that. You could model, a positive revenue, blah, 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 and all this. I give this information, right? And you see all the numbers, and the consensus is that it's going to come in at 7 cents a share. That's my earnings. I'm like, and what I do is I just reconcile and I figure, well, that was a light number that I gave him in the first place. So we don't have to do a lot of financial engineering here, but we'll come in at 9 cents a share, the actual. And unless something goes really awry, that's why when you start seeing earnings misses, people get very upset because they realize the game.
Yeah, because they should have been given the right number or a lower number to begin with.
Or the other side, what people get nervous about, is that they did give them to the best of their ability the numbers, but information changed so quickly that they all of a sudden are showing.
Right, and that's not good.
Right, it's not good at all. In aggregate, companies are reporting earnings that are 7.5% above estimates, which is below the five-year average of 8.5%, but above the 10-year average of 6.7%. 8 of the 11 sectors of the S&P 500 reporting year-over-year earnings growth led by communication services, that's like Facebook, utilities, hey, ding, 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 there again, consumer discretionary, that's your stores and things that we buy and all that, and information technology. 3 sectors are reporting year-over-year declines in earnings. That includes energy, healthcare, and materials. And revenue is up again, estimated to be 4.1% up on a year-over-year basis. That's revenue, that's sales. That's the actual thing you can really count on. If 4.1% is the actual revenue growth for the first quarter, it'll mark the 14th consecutive quarter of revenue growth for the index. That's pretty good.
Yeah, I'd say.
14 quarters. What is that? How many years is that? That's 4 years, give or take?
Four into 13 is what?
Three and a half.
Yeah.
Three and a quarter. All right, let's talk about fake work. An investor at the famed Silicon Valley firm Andreessen Horowitz, no, not a relation, is the latest VC, the venture capital firm, to get involved in the debate around fake work at inside the tech industry. This guy, Yulevich, he went on to point out and particularly focus in on Google, calling it an amazing example. He says, I don't think it's crazy to believe that half the white-collar staff at Google probably does no real work. He said the company has spent billions and billions of dollars per year on projects that go nowhere for over a decade, and all that money could have been returned to shareholders who have retirement accounts. Now, I just want to say something.
I agree with that, by the way.
I agree with part of that. The problem is that it's not that every single thing that they did went nowhere. Some of the things did go somewhere. It's like the pharmaceutical or the biotech industry. You got to spend money to try to do discovery for things that will actually come to fruition. So it's not fair to say that all these, just ditch all these projects. I think he's oversimplifying this.
Well, I agree with that too.
So you agree with him and me?
Yeah.
So
how does that work?
How does that work?
Well, it works simply. I think they waste a lot of money. And once in a while, they keep throwing stuff against the wall and something sticks once in a while by accident. Yeah.
Mark Andreessen has criticized a managerial laptop class. He calls it a laptop class. These are guys that are just walking around with laptops, I guess, watching maybe looking at dashboards.
Andreessen should know.
Right. Now, in 2022, he said the good big companies are overstaffed by 2x. The bad big companies are overstaffed by 4x or more. I mean, it is pretty amazing that all these people, and then they went on in this discussion and this report about, work from home, and most people, even though they said, oh, they're so productive, they're not. They're doing other things. Whether it's simply, going to the refrigerator every 30 minutes and then the bathroom every 30 minutes after that, which is okay, whatever. Or whether it's having a side gig that you're working on at the same time.
Yeah, working parallel jobs is the issue.
And I don't understand, if someone was working for me and had a side gig that was like not a little side gig, right? Like a hobby kind of thing, but a real side gig where, they were spending a lot of the time, let's say they're a party planner.
I'm reminded of the remember the series The Wire?
Yeah.
I believe within that series there was one of the cops that was always working on miniature furniture for dollhouses. He had a big magnifying glass, and he was always working on these dollhouse things. If I'm not mistaken, that was in the movie The Wire.
That was in the show The Wire.
Remember
the show? Yeah, the show The Wire. I remember that, but it's also in that movie where Steve Carell was one of the dinner guests, that they brought these crazy dinner guests to the house, and he would work on these. Steve Carell dinner guest. They brought all these. How do you spell Carell? Carrel. Steve Carell. I don't know. He was in some movie. He was not The Office. I don't know.
Well, people do this.
It's a problem.
How much of a problem is it?
I think it's a big problem. What do you mean? I mean, I think the problem.
I'm going to side with these guys.
Dinner for Schmucks. That was the movie.
The name of the movie was Dinner for Schmucks?
Yeah, great movie. Great movie.
I never heard of this movie.
Oh, yeah, it's a great movie. And he worked on little crazy things with animals and like magnifying glasses. And basically the thesis of the thing was that every year this group of very highfalutin dudes would get together and bring the schmuckiest of schmucks, and whoever was the weirdest would win a pot of money and all that, right? So you'd bring this
guest. It's like the supposed thing that goes on in sorority houses.
Right, you bring a real weirdo.
You bring the dweeb in, you get the you win the award.
Yeah, yeah. Dinner for schmucks.
Sick.
Yep. Companies that took a hit, Netflix and AMD getting bid again. Netflix dropped and gap lower from 608 to 551 after earnings. That was a good 60 points, like 8-9%. Now it's 592. Can't resist. AMD dropped from 160 to 140, now 156.
So nothing really happened.
Nothing burger. No, yeah, I'll tell you what happened. Create a good buying opportunity right there.
Yeah, when it bounces, that's what I did on the game with Meta.
Right, but how long does this go on? You have a 1-2 day correction in a stock. That's it.
Yeah, it doesn't take long.
It's like meaningless what they say in an earnings a report. People don't care about any of this. They just care about owning this stock. Or stocks, I should say. Now the SPY, the small caps.
Those days will be over when the economy collapses.
Yeah, you would think. It makes it very difficult to be on the short side. So just be aware of that. SPY, IWM, and QQQ, that's the S&P 500. The small cap index, the Russell 2000, is represented by the IWM. And the QQQ is the NASDAQ 100. All of them are now above their 50-day moving average again. So there you go with that. All right, utilities, let's follow up on this. I just want to provide this idea again, this concept. Data warehouses and other AI-powered facilities, these hungry for power that are in the gigawatt.
Yeah, they're totally hungry for power. It's ridiculous how much power they're demanding.
So some of the symbols that we talked about, if you remember, was Southern, S-O, N-E-E, E-X-C, C-M-S, doing nicely. In fact, let's jump down a second to this chart. I want to show you something. Utilities usually do not do well in an increasing interest rate environment or a high interest rate environment because of the yielding 4% and interest rates of 5%. Utilities are really owned usually for safety and for yield. You can get safety and yield that's higher in a treasury. Why the hell would you buy the utility?
Yes.
But what's interesting is the utilities are starting to perk up in an interest rate which recently went higher. So said a different way, utility stocks or utility index is fighting the trend of yields higher, which is pretty fascinating.
That only factor variable there would have to have some growth going on.
Something's going on, yeah. So natural gas producers are planning for a significant spike in demand over the next decade as AI, artificial intelligence, drives a surge in electricity consumption that renewables may struggle to meet alone. After a decade of flat power growth in the U.S., electricity demand is forecast to grow as much as 20% by 2030. There's a Wells Fargo paper they published. Power companies are moving to quickly add and secure energy as the rise of AI coincides with the expansion of domestic semiconductor and battery manufacturing, as well as the electrification of the nation's vehicle fleet. And just for clarification for our listeners, when you see that plug in the wall that you have in your room, what are you looking at? That's obviously electricity. It is not created within the walls or magically somehow comes out of that plug. It comes from somewhere. It may come from coal. It may come from a nuclear facility or other more traditional. It could be solar. It could be it's converted or hydroelectric. But point is that just to be clear, there is something that is creating that electricity. I think a lot of people think that it's just
magic.
You plug it in. You plug it in. It doesn't smell. It's odorless. It's tasteless. What's the problem here? You know. Here's what's really fascinating. AI. Remember we talked about. I think there was a facility that was being built in the Northeast, I think it was, in Atlanta. I don't remember what it was. But it was something, I want to say like 5 gigawatts. Remember that?
Yeah, it's something, yeah.
And that was some ridiculous amount of electricity for one facility. Well, all the AI data centers alone are expected to add about 323 terawatt hours of electricity demand in the U.S. by 2030.
Yeah.
I don't know much about giga versus tera, but I believe a tera is bigger than a giga.
It's bigger. But I think
it's like a million to billion.
10X.
Yeah. 323 terawatts. I didn't look it up before. Do we have any idea what that means?
Yeah, it means you're never going to get your car charged.
Let's see what this, if I can. Yeah, this is, yeah. How many terawatts hours does the U.S. use now? So now we use a total of 4,000 terawatt hours.
For the whole country.
4,000. And we're talking about adding 10% more just for AI. Just for AI.
It's never going to pay out.
It's amazing. Here's the chart of the utilities.
I don't see any way of making money with AI.
What do you mean?
It's exactly what I mean.
Please go further.
What does AI do that saves money with the overhead that it takes to make it work? I mean, it's supposed to do this and that. I mean, what specifically?
You're going to say to a machine, hey, I'm in the mood for a meatloaf with a mixed salad and a homemade Italian dressing. Yeah. Please make a shopping list and send it to Publix, and I'll pick it up in 30 minutes.
Why don't you just, you can call Publix yourself.
Well, you can do it on an app, of course, but, you know, why should you do that? Why should you do anything, John, when you can have a machine?
Because what's going to happen is going to get the order wrong. It's going to screw up. It's no good. This AI thing is only good for very few things.
I looked up on
considering the amount of juice it needs, it, those few things are always going to be a loser.
So I looked up on ChatGPT. I said, who is Andrew Horowitz? That's all I said. Came back with everything pretty much about me. Okay, yeah, which was kind of interesting. There's a few Andrew Horowitz.
It will have mistakes.
It'll have some mistakes, but it was pretty good. It was relatively good, I thought. It was just a regurgitation of stuff that's out there, of course, right?
Yeah, they just steal from Wikipedia. What kind of a genius does that take? Yeah.
Well, today I found a new one that I was looking at, and I said, who is Andrew Horowitz? First, it came back with a different Andrew Horowitz. So then I said, who is Andrew Horowitz CFP? It came back with a hodgepodge of different Andrew Horowitzes that are in the financial industry.
Oh, there's probably a few.
But it came back looking like that was the answer.
Yeah, that's your classic example.
Yeah, it was a mixture of all of us.
Yeah.
Stupid. Well, whatever may be the case and who makes money from it, like we've talked about right now, many of the companies, and in fact, there's some commentary here from ServiceNow, the CEO of ServiceNow, and he talks about, I'll get to the exact in a moment, but how it's going to take a long time to reach the point of profitability from AI, and everybody's all excited about it. By the way, nobody exactly knows exactly what it's going to do for productivity and all this, but they're all 100% confirming that it's going to do a lot.
Because they're all in on the scam.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. Was it Warren Buffett who called it a scam? Yeah.
Did he say it this weekend as a scam?
He said it. Well, it was during his recent, you know, Charlie Munger-less presentation. Yeah, he said it was a scam.
Charlie Munger-less. What a cold bastard you are.
It's Charlie Munger-less now.
Is that what it is? He's Charlie Munger-less?
Yeah, poor guy.
He's doing pretty good still for 94, Warren Buffett.
Yeah, he's got a couple more years left.
Yeah, his voice is getting a little shakier. He's always had a little bit of a grovelly voice, but it's getting a little shakier. But look at this chart of utilities, will you please? Take a look at that.
Yeah, I'm looking at it now.
Now, this chart and the show notes are on dhunplugged.com, episode number 701, which is one episode after 700, which we are still open for donations for that special episode, by the way. You can go over to DH Unplugged, click on the button. If Thank you for everybody who, in fact, did donate. You got all a personal email from us. And I want to thank you. And you will get a personal email if you do send something in. It does help out. And we do appreciate your participation in that. It's important. This is a weekly chart of XLU, which is the utilities ETF.
Right.
And you'll notice that a couple things. The red line is the little thin red line, not the thick one, the thin red line is sloping downward. You see that? Little thin red line.
Oh, I see it. Yep.
There's a blue one and a red one.
Yeah, that's sloping downwards, a crossover point.
Yeah, that's not good. That's called actually right in the beginning. Let's see where that was. Right.
Is that a moving average?
Yeah, that's a 250-day moving average. The 50-day moved under the 200-day moving average. That's called a death cross. Not good.
Meanwhile, well, a death cross took place.
Yeah, meanwhile, it didn't seem to be a problem. It
kept going up.
Right.
So much for your death cross.
Yeah, these crosses I never really follow too much. I mean, some people do a lot, and you should be careful with these. It is saying that the short-term trend is changing from the long-term trend. But if you look at this, it happened, I don't know, about 8 months to a year and a half too late. It was a very late signal.
Well, the signal back in 2020 I'm looking at, where the death cross took place, the market continued upward in much the same way it's doing now. And then it consolidated, came down a bit. Well, and then it took off.
Yeah, this is weekly also, so it's not it's a 50 week and a 200 week, so it's a very long term. But you will notice in 2024, right? So first of all, came in the beginning, right in the beginning of 2024, came in, and then it's been on the move.
What's the little blue line?
That's 200 day moving average.
Okay, well, there's a death cross there too.
Yeah, so. I see the resistance above about 71. You get a bit of a 71 right now, trading at about 68.5. It's as low as 55.
So the big thick red line is your resistance.
That's my
level,
resistance
point.
Think. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But all I'm saying is in 2024,
there's a head right through that line. There's a screwy head and shoulders, which is a two headed head and shoulders.
Yep. Yep.
Mark of the beast.
Yeah. But you'll notice that the big thing here is that it's been rising in 2024 again against the grain of higher interest rates. And I think that's very important. And that if it's that strong.
Yeah, I think it verifies your thesis, this thesis of yours, which is, and if interest starts to drop, this would skyrocket.
Yes, I think so. I agree. Apple earnings was out. Nothing great in the earnings. A few pockets of sunshine in there. But I got to tell you, what was it that made the stock go up 9-10%? $110 billion buyback. The largest buyback ever for any company.
It's crazy.
Berkshire cut its stake by 13%.
Was Apple going to go private?
They're like eating their own arm.
It's unbelievable.
To lose weight. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Well, it does work.
It does. The truth is that they're shrinking their float. That would be good for earnings. And they can continue. And they actually, I think.
Yeah, one hiccup with that lower float, the stock will collapse.
Well, the thing is, it's true. Once they get to that point when they really bring it, there's still a lot of shares out there. But the thing is that they also are putting a floor underneath the stock, right? Because stock goes down, what do they do? Right. You know, hey, buddy, do me a favor. Before you go to lunch, buy a billion.
Well, that's, investors like that.
Yeah, they raise their dividend too. So investors do like it because
what's the percent?
I think it's 4% now or something like that. Let's see.
So that's reasonable.
I don't know if it's that much. Let's see. AAPL dividend yield. It's only 0.55. I was wrong.
0.55.
Yeah. It's just a little bitty.
Well, that stinks.
Well, they did that so they can get into the dividend aristocrats kind of fund, or, you know, they're in the Dow Jones Industrial Average now. So that's what's going on there.
All right.
Save is what I'm saying here. Save Spirit Airlines. Earnings not painting a pretty picture. Blaming issues on the Pratt & Whitney because of their geared turbofan engine problems. And they're saying that's held them up from something. The outlook by management was less than expected. Company planning to provide strategic update in the next couple of months, but they're struggling. Again, I'm going to say this. I'm going to pound the table. Makes no sense that the JetBlue deal was blocked.
No, it doesn't. It's just out of spite, or somebody didn't pay somebody under the table, the way I see it at this point.
Well, if you've heard the FTC, I think it's the FTC chair, Lina Khan. Have you listened to her at all?
No.
Very smart person. Very, very smart. Young, but very smart. But really got her act together. And I think, let's see a wiki on her. Let's see how old she is. She's not old at all. She's 35. She's born in the UK. And she's 35 years old. It's very, very young, by the way. Let's be honest. That's young, right? She went to Yale Law School. In Yale in 2017, during her third year, 2017, and a third year at Yale, 2017, 7 years later. So she was 20. Yeah, I guess that's right, 27. In her third year at Yale Law School, the Yale Law Journal published her article called Amazon's Antitrust Paradox. So she's coming from a position that there's a lot of antitrust out there, right? The article made a significant impact on the American legal and business circles, and the New York Times described it as reframing decades of monopoly law. So she's
going to stick to her guns then. She's not going to let anything happen.
Right, right. And Joe Biden put her in there, and for the purpose of, stick it to the big companies.
Stick it to the man.
Yeah, stick it to the man, not the man. Because the big companies are ripping everybody off. Amazon, that terrible company, providing that amazing experience of you get free movies and stuff, but you order something, paper clips, and you get it 2 days later. It doesn't cost you anything. That's a terrible, terrible thing. How dare they have a monopoly on that?
The way I always say is like Montgomery Ward's, Sears, and Finger Hut, among others, could have been in that business doing a better job, but they never had the wherewithal to do anything. I mean, they all failed.
Why don't we just say that Netflix has the semi-quasi monopoly they're bad people because they put Blockbuster out of business.
Yeah, same thing.
There was a time that you would...
Blockbuster, Netflix came in to compete with Blockbuster originally, as we know, but they had a little twist on it. You mail the discs back and forth and okay, well, it's different. But it was still a crappy business. And then when they came up with the idea of streaming and perfected it, because they were the first on the idea, not totally, because I know other people were talking about it, including Oracle, long before Netflix ever showed up. But they couldn't pull it off because they just couldn't do it. And so Netflix decided to do it, using mostly to make it work well. People don't realize this, but the way Netflix works, they use a lot of appliances, as they're called. And the appliances are sitting at the head end of every single ISP in the country. So when you go, all the top movies on Netflix are on the appliances, and they update the appliances constantly. And so when you go and you hit your ISP to tell them to talk to Netflix and send you a movie, it's coming locally to you. It's not coming from some giant server in the sky. And with the exception of the weird movies that they don't have on the appliance, which there are plenty, but nobody ever, they're not popular. So they dreamed up this architecture. Google uses it too. And other people do. And it's, nobody seemed to have been able to dream this idea up until these guys come along and say, you got to give them some credit.
Yeah, I mean, there was a lot of money spent in the beginning. Reed Hastings is a genius.
Except politically.
All right. Well, I'm talking about from a, he's a genius in the movie and streaming business. How's that?
Well, he's one of, he's a genius in the way Elon Musk is. He found somebody who could figure this out. He didn't do it.
Right. But okay. So that's still good.
Yeah, no, I know. It's the hardest thing in the world to do is to be able to pick people.
Yeah. So he's worth $4.2 billion. So God bless him. Pretty good. From the category that we pull up, the file, the deep file called Yuck, Beyond Meat announces another Beyond Meat product will be available at the Whole Foods Market stores nationwide with the addition of the Smash-style Beyond Stack Burger.
Oh, brother.
This, I got to say that again. The Smash-style Beyond Stack Burger.
So that means that the molds that they put these things in are kind of like off or they're rejects. I mean, you know what? Smash burgers, of course, people who've seen this, how they do this is they take a ball of meat and they smash it on the hot grill.
Yeah, they put a weight on it usually.
Yeah, well, but they smash it there on the spot.
Mm-hmm.
So how are they going to do that? Are they just selling meatballs and you smash them? Is the that what the thing, idea is?
Nah, you know what? It's going to be a fake smash.
Yes, what I fake meat. Assume.
Yeah, they'll have it pre-smashed for you.
Yeah,
and then you can have a disgusting product.
So what's the
that
point?
Looks terrible too?
Yeah, I'm sure it does.
Yeah, I don't know. It's got to look horrible, off color. It's kind of a janky, almost. What is that color? What is that look?
How does this company stay in business?
I don't know, what is that? What does that look when people are you know, vegans, and they get that pale.
Oh, that vegan look, vegan face?
Yeah, it's like a vegan face burger.
It's like Ozempic face.
Yeah, it's you know, the draw, the eyeballs are recessed, you know, your sockets come out, and you got that, what is that called? He's got, it's like a pale.
It's called the Whole Foods look.
Yeah, that's what it is. You know, pale, it's like somebody who wears, you know, 100 sunscreen and clothing on every part of their body. And when they go outside in the summer, we'll wear gloves. You know?
You see that in Florida? Is that what you're telling me?
I don't see it. You said Whole Foods. I mean, Whole Foods, people are pale there.
At least yeah, a lot of them are pretty emaciated is the word you might be looking for. Mm.
All right. Sentiment. The Schwab Trading Activity Index stacks. Decreased to 48.87 in April, down from its score of 51.64 in March. The reading for the four-week period ending April 26 ranks moderately low compared to historic averages as investment exposure decreased. Now, how many times have we talked about fund flows coming out dramatically, investor positioning low, the confidence or sentiment negative? But yet markets keep going up. I mean, it seems like it happens all the time.
Yeah, you harp on it.
It's weird. It's weird. You can't, none of these things can you rely on anymore. It's like a, you know, whatever we learned back in the day, you can't rely on it. You know, back in the day when pretzels were a nickel, you know? And you got a good, you ever have an egg cream? You ever go to like, do you have a Woolworth out by you or something like that? Or
I make my own egg creams. I know how to do it.
Now, wait a second. Just hold on a second. Let's just talk about this. Because an egg cream is an egg cream. Do you make an egg cream the egg cream way?
Yeah.
The New York style?
I had across the street, I had a couple of very religious, a Jewish couple.
Ah.
And she showed me how to make an egg cream correctly, and that's the way I make it.
Now,
I
let me just say something.
Use the You Bet chocolate.
Ah, there you go. That's the answer right there. It has to be Fox's You Bet.
Yeah.
Fox's You Bet in the bottle that when you pour it in, somehow you can't help but get the Fox You Bet dripping down the sides of the bottle.
Yeah, it's always a mess.
It's always a mess. So that's a good point. Somebody mentioned on the chat, did Mimi have an egg cream in the egg book?
There's no egg in an egg cream.
I know that. I'm just asking. No. And by the way, where can people get that book?
By the way, I've made coffee.
Oh?
A coffee version of an egg cream, which is absolutely dynamite.
It's like coffee soda.
Yeah, and you make, yeah, it's a coffee soda with some sweetener, maple syrup, in fact.
Huh. I had a friend that used to take the last of his coffee. He'd make a pot of coffee, couple glasses he had, whatever. He would take the coffee and make ice cubes out of it, and when he had a beer, he'd put the ice cubes in the beer.
Wow.
Coffee ice cubes.
That's an interesting idea.
Where can people get a copy of that egg book? Tell them about it.
What, the Mimi's TooManyEggs.com. You can go to TooManyEggs.com. Very easy to remember, TooManyEggs.com. And you can actually pick up a free copy as in a PDF form, which is what we're going to be doing with this small publishing house. So everyone gets free, you know, if you want it. But if you want the book itself, you can buy it off that website, TooManyEggs.com.
And then also there's another book that people can get, right? The ABC.
Yes,
the stock
we
market?
Have the, if you go to gateviewpublishing.com, you can pick up the Dvorak Horowitz, the DH Unplugged.
ABCs. ABCs.
The ABC book from DH Unplugged.
Yep, it's for a children's book teaching kids how to.
It's dynamite.
Yeah.
It's got all the terms in there. So your little kid can be talking about, you know, puts and calls.
Yeah. Daddy, can we go short today? The other thing that slipped out of John's mouth right there was a reference to No Agenda with himself, John C. Dvorak, and Adam Curry, which have amazing podcast. It goes on for a while. It's about 3 hours twice a week. That means 6 hours, by the way, for those of you that are into math. And
yes, people who like to commute love it.
Yeah, it's great. It's actually because if you think about it, if you have an hour commute, you have about 6 hours worth of podcasts per week right there.
So yeah, an hour easy.
Covers you for the whole
truck shows. Drivers love the show.
Exactly. So you can go to listen to No Agenda on live. You could listen live on Thursdays and Sundays at 2 p.m. You could also listen to No Agenda, of course, and find it on any of your favorite podcast applications that are out there. And I'll share with you while we're here that the Disciplined Investor podcast, we have an incredible lineup of guests, including Frank Curzio next week, Kim Flynn coming in, Michael Johnston, May, and we got, who else we got here? Jim Bruce, Jim Rogers, Jim Rogers, we just booked him, Jared Dillon, it's just, the list goes on. Das, our favorite guest, and we're all booked through July or August already.
Wow, good work.
Yep. The Disciplined Investor, find that also on all your favorite podcast repositories. So going back to the Stacks Index, the Schwab Trading Activity Index, and there was all these, in April, all these bad days in the markets. That's what may have happened. But popular names bought by Schwab clients during the period in April, I'm sure you can't guess it, in order, NVIDIA, Advanced Micro Devices, Super Micro Computers, Amazon, Microsoft, names that were sold by clients during the period included Walt Disney, PayPal Holdings, ExxonMobil, Devon Energy, and Occidental. So they bought tech, holding tech, really, that's the highest level, and they basically sold consumer and energy.
Yeah.
Which is pretty much what goes on the market. So either they're really smart or it's just a microcosm of what's actually going on.
Yeah, it sounds like just a knee-jerk investments.
Yep. All right, Han Hai Precision. That company is also known as Foxconn. Depends on where you are. I don't know why they call it Han Hai Precision. And we know about it as Foxconn. The company, which assembles the majority of Apple's smartphones, reported a 19% rise in monthly sales to 510 billion NT. What is NT? What is an NT?
That would
Taiwan,
be, Taiwan money.
Maybe new Taiwan. It's probably new Taiwanese. Compared with the revenue of 429, so it's a big pickup, right? About almost 90 billion of whatever those new Taiwan things are. The company said in a statement Sunday that April revenue climbed to a record high for the month. The report raises expectations that iPhone sales this is where it gets all crappy on me here. Ready? I'm going to read this slowly and just pick out where the issue is. Ready? The report raises expectations for iPhone sales while AI-related businesses boom. What does that have to do with anything?
I have no idea. Again, scam.
I just copy and pasted this one. The report raises expectations for iPhone sales while AI-related business booms. Oh, maybe their AI business booms. But
I think not.
Yeah, actually, this does not actually line up with Apple's earnings call either. So South Korea's factory output, so this is on the other side, and South Korea has a lot of things going on, fell in March by the most in 15 months, government data showed on Tuesday, missing market expectations. The industrial production index fell 3.2% from a month earlier on a seasonally adjusted basis after a gain of 2.9 in February compared with a rise of 0.6, which was the basic survey by economists. It was the fastest monthly fall since December of 2022. That's not so long ago. And caused by declines in metal processing and electronic parts. Now, wait a second. Hold on. How do we have Apple coming in? Not really a great earnings report. Okay, they did a buyback. Shares went up. Okay. You got Hanhai / Foxconn showing a crazy situation there. And then you got South Korea's factory declining, and it's a lot to do with electronic parts.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense since those electronic parts go into the iPhone.
Yeah, this.
That has to be referring mostly to TSMC, which is the electronic parts operation, the main one on the island.
Yeah, have you seen Carvana? Do you have any of those Carvana, what do they call those things? The coin-operated dispensers?
No, I have never seen one.
Oh, we have one down here. It's just this big glass building, maybe, I don't know, 10 stories high.
I think I might have seen one in Oakland, but it's not there anymore. I don't know what happened to it.
Well, the follower and son duo behind Carvana, which seen their fortunes rebound as shares of the Phoenix-based online used cars dealer, have surged more than, check this out, 3,000% from their historic lows.
When was the historic low?
Let's see. The historic low was December 2022. Carvana stock fell below $4 a share as rising interest rates sapped sales, and the company was forced to restructure debt.
That was a good bet.
And the company basically spends a lot on commercials and marketing.
Yeah, mostly commercials.
But it's like a CarMax without having to bring your car actually to CarMax. You just put all the information that you have in there. They'll give you a price, and usually lower because they're not going to see the car. Assuming there's no major damage, you can't showcase this. You can't catfish the car.
Well, I'm sure they have a connection to the that operation that does the checks on your car.
Like Carfax, records. Carfax.
Carfax, yeah. Carfax.
Yeah, they'll do that on your car and make sure there's nothing really weird going on. Carvana shares jumped another 34% last Thursday to the highest in more than 2 years after the company reported stronger first quarter earnings with revenue topping analysts' expectations. Now, that tells me a couple of things. If they're doing really well, that means a lot of people are trying to sell their cars. Right? And but people buying cars, too. But there, a lot of people probably, there's a lot more activity.
Yeah, there's more activity. And but it has to be, they only make money on the buy side, right? Everyone sells their cars guys just buy them up. They're not going
to
make any money.
But they're hoping to buy a car for $5,000 and sell for $8,000. And you don't want to deal with it because you don't want to have the whole hassle of putting on a Facebook marketplace, or nobody does this anymore, John, and some people listening may have no idea what I'm about to say, but or putting in the classifieds.
What classifieds?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
You can a lot of people buy and sell cars on Craigslist.
Well, that's a terribly organized but yet effective online classified.
Yes.
Remember the classifieds?
Of course.
You've used them, right?
I used to have when I was a paper boy, I had a weekend, besides having the regular newspaper, I also had a weekend route delivering the Shopper, which was a newspaper full of classifieds. That's all it was.
Do you remember placing a classified ad and trying to figure out how to abbreviate everything to get less letters?
Of course. You'd call them up. Usually they had operators standing by.
Yeah. I have 40. It's pushing me over the top. It's going to be 250. I only have a budget for 125. Can we shorten this, please? So they would do all sorts of work with words and shorten stuff. So it was like code. But anybody that was searching the classifieds knew what it meant.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. Cool stuff. Good stuff. Ah, the old days, John C. Dvorak. You know what I mean?
Gone
are the good old days. And so you know what else is gone? Savings. U.S. households have exhausted a pile of cash they squirreled away during the pandemic. The latest estimates of overall pandemic excess savings remaining in the U.S. economy have turned negative, suggesting that American households fully spent their pandemic-era savings as of March 2024.
Wow. That was fast.
Fast? Wait, it's 4 years. What are you talking about?
To get rid of all your money? I don't know.
All the excess money that you got from the gratuitous government. Yeah,
the
you
giveaways.
Know? Yeah. Well. Social Security, according to the Social Security trustees, the trust funds from Social Security Administration that, have relied on to pay benefits are now projected to run out in 2035, 1 year later than previously projected. Hmm. Now, they said that the...
They always say this, by the way.
They're proud of this.
Good. It's a scam because that money is supposed to be put into a separate fund. It's not supposed to be going to the general fund and they dole it out. You pay when you go to your payroll tax. It says Social Security on there. It's supposed to go into a different pot, but no.
No. Of course not, because they could just create the money out of thin air. What's the difference?
Well, nowadays.
The Social Security trustees credit the slightly improved outlook to more people contributing to the program amid a strong economy, low unemployment, and higher job and wage growth. So there you go. So more people are funding the people. So more people today are funding it for the people that are living on it. And that was not how it was supposed to be either.
Exactly.
It was not supposed to be a Ponzi scheme.
Yeah, what you described as a Ponzi scheme.
And what they're doing is outright and blatantly saying they're okay with that. So then the question is, and you are required to put money into Social Security if you're a W-2 employee. For that matter, even a sole proprietor. Your earnings absolutely have to up to a certain amount. And you can't say, no, you know what? I opt out. Unfortunately. And finally, two more things. AI reality. ServiceNow's new generative AI-focused product tier will take time to boost financial results for the company, the executive said, sending a lukewarm message to investors looking for big impact from the highly hyped technology. Now, let's think back just, I don't know if this is the right way to look at it and to utilize the internet as it was going to be a big force, huge change, which it was, but it took how many years to actually get it going? Netflix happened to have the name Netflix from the beginning, but it really was never Netflix, right? You did things online just to do ordering. That was it. So that's where
it was called Netflix when you were buying discs.
Yeah. So it was a little weird, but you bought it on the net. You used the internet to buy it.
Yeah.
That's how it shows it. But it took a long time to actually make it substantially profitable. And I think right now there's a lot of people that are thinking that this AI thing, which really just popped up out of the blue a year ago, is going to be instantaneously coming down to the bottom line somehow. I mean, every time I look, like Zoom, here's our AI assistant. I'm like, first of all, how many AI assistants am I going to have? Am I going to have one for every single app? I mean, don't I want an AI assistant that learns from what I'm doing, not training multiple AI assistants?
Yeah, good luck.
Oh, thanks. So, that's like having personal assistants, but having 20 of them and nobody knows exactly what the other one's doing. So they said, while it might take some time to have a material impact on the top line, the opportunity is massive. So once again, this is what I'm saying. This is a commentary that's starting to come out. The fact, and Zuckerberg was very clear about this, that, we're putting a lot of money in right now. It may not pay off for a long time. So there you go. We have a winner. We're going to announce the winner for the close to the pin for Apple. This is interesting. So we had a lot of people that participated in this one. The average price on the entries was $169.20, which was pretty amazing. The final stock
was is pretty close.
Yeah, $169.30. But what's interesting, the winner was actually further away, which I found interesting. $169.69. So I'm not sure how that exactly happened.
Well, you have people. Yeah, it was average is different.
Right, right. It could be the top or the bottom. You had somebody 180, 160, and you get to that point. The winner was Kirk S., first-time winner. So we're sending him a shirt. But look at number two. You know who that is, right?
Yeah, Marcus.
Marcus, you know, 43 cents
wins
away.
Wins all the time.
0.25% away. This guy sits in his Thatch house with his, I'll go so far as a shiny cherry wood desk. You see this, what I'm going at here? You know, with an abacus on one side, one computer screen on the other, and a stack of newspapers. And he has charts that he uses that he charts manually by hand. This is what I, this is my
this
vision.
True? No, or
this
is just making this up.
This is my vision. This is my vision.
Oh, your vision. Well, I think he's just a guy with a dartboard.
Oh, Marcus, very well done, buddy. 169.73 was his guess. 169.69, 4 cents away from the winner. That could have been one trade at the end of the day.
Yep.
It's crazy. Very crazy. Okay. Let's take a jaunt over to this.
This is a game that we play. It's not a solicitation to buy or sell any security. It's not a recommendation of any kind. Nothing on the show should be considered investment advice or a recommendation. If you choose to invest in any of the stocks mentioned, you should know that it may carry risk, along with the risk of a loss of principal. You should also seek out professional financial advice for your particular situation. We assume no risk as these are not to be considered recommendations. Horowitz Company, myself, or John C. Dvorak may invest in any of the securities mentioned and will disclose that on the website under the weekly stock picks section. You can go to dhunplugged.com and see all the names we discuss in the segment along with the performance information from the date discussed as well as any additional important disclosures.
All right, so what do we got?
Well, I just lost the page, so you're going to have to go with it.
All right. Well, we got a 40% increase, 49% increase on Amazon. It got up again after the earnings, $188 per share, bought at 126. Treasuries are still, TLT is hanging up and doing well. U.S. Aerospace Defense doing well because it was, you know, a war nation. Wendy's about 4% up. Shark Ninja, 47%. I got the top two still. Apple. Yep. Apple wishful thinking short. You're off slightly, dead money, not doing much. Geo Group's closed out this week, a 17% gain. Disney closed out with a 13% gain. Recent entries, we got, let's see here, CarMax. That was a short on my part. It's interesting, CarMax is down 14% while we see that Carvana is doing so well. Spirit Airlines, nothing seems to save this thing, down 5.1%.
Poor thing.
Yeah, you're bouncing on Meta platforms. There you go. There you go. Bouncing. 9.5% up at 468. Yeah. It went down to like 418. Now it's at 468 again. Your it's MLM diet. Yeah, it was like over 500. It was. Your MLM diet multi level marketing.
Yeah, I'm lucky I didn't get kicked.
Yeah. I'm adding two. You only see one because I just decided just a moment ago to add another one. I'm adding Palantir Technologies. Came out with earnings today. Actually, numbers were better than expected. Maybe not as great. There's some concern about Europe and some of the things that are going on there. This is a company that does, yes, AI, but also does a lot of data management. They're early. These guys are the early guys of AI, but particularly for governments, like in wartime stuff. This is a company that is like war games. Alex Karp is the CEO. He's a strange dude with a very strange haircut, but brilliant, just absolutely brilliant. When I looked at the earnings today, it was down 15%, like I said. There was a big run-up into earnings last couple of months. And I just think that right now, it's one day later, but a bounce is very, possible. I own the stock myself. Clients own the stock as well. We just picked this up today for clients, as a matter of fact. The other one's going to be Southern Company. This is one of the utilities. I had to pick one of them. So I picked Southern Company as it's up 2% today. Okay. But I picked that as one of them. What do you have?
Nothing. Oh. I'm good.
Big goose egg.
Goose egg for me.
All right. Well, we'll close it up there and we'll reconvene next Tuesday.
Okay. See you then.
All right. See you. Thanks much.
You've been listening in on a conversation with John C. Dvorak and Andrew Horowitz. Hope to be with you again soon. Bye-bye.
Now, I'm not broke, but badly bent. I'm not down to my last cent, cause I got a dollar, but it's my last dollar bill. Yes, sir. In my pocket, there's a dent. All my dough is nearly spent, but I got a dollar, and it's my last dollar bill. Oh, I'd love just one more buck fortune left me by chance. Now here's a hint, I feel like a man. You can hardly tell by a glance. I don't care, no millionaire can give me the icy stare, 'cause I got a dollar, my last dollar bill.
Horowitz & Company, Inc. is registered as an investment advisor with the state of Florida and conducts business in other states where it is properly registered or is excluded from registration requirements. Registration does not imply any level of skill or training.